Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Today we're going to talk about a topic that is controversial, and we're not looking for controversy. It just happens to be a controversial topic. We're going to talk today about divorce and remarriage. And the question is this: if I have been divorced, must I remain unmarried? And the answer is no. As long as there are scriptural reasons for your divorce. Now, before we get into the passage of Scripture, our first passage of Scripture, let me just say this. One of the reasons that this is a controversial topic is that people who have never been divorced are too quick to condemn those who have been. And those who have been divorced are sometimes too quick to justify others getting a divorce. So that's one of the problems. The other problem is that oftentimes there is a line of teaching regarding the subject, and depending on your loyalty to whomever trained you, if their line of teaching was against divorce and remarriage, then you are, regardless of what you see in the Scripture. And if their line of teaching was favorable for divorce and remarriage, then you are favorable toward it, regardless of what the Scripture may say. And so those are kind of the two main reasons for the big controversy over the subject of divorce and remarriage. Many preachers hold the doctrine that if you have been divorced, no matter what the reason, you cannot remarry. That is a very common stand among many preachers. I believe that the reason so many preachers hold this doctrine is that it appears to be a doctrinal misunderstanding of Romans chapter 7, verses 1 through 4. The subject of divorce and remarriage seems to be, or appears to be, a doctrinal misunderstanding of Romans chapter 7, verses 1 through 4. So what we're going to see is there are, in fact, two scriptural reasons for divorce. And under those two scriptural reasons for divorce, remarriage is allowed in those cases. So let's go to Romans chapter 7, verses 1 through 4, and we'll begin our study on the topic of divorce and remarriage. In Romans chapter 7, let's read very carefully, 1 through 4. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law. So you can go back to Deuteronomy and you can read the law and see what the Bible says about this subject that we're going to study. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. And that's true. The law has dominion over us as long as we're alive. As soon as we die, the law has no more dominion over us. Now, Paul then goes to an illustration using marriage as the illustration. He says in verse 2, for the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. So in this passage, Paul, that is in Romans chapter 7, verses 1 through 4, Paul deals with the matter of the doctrinal death of the body, your body and mine, at salvation, where you and I, who are saved, are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead. You see that in verse 4? When you get saved, you are become dead to the law by the body of Christ. And as a result of that, you are then able to marry Jesus Christ, who is raised from the dead. Now, to illustrate this doctrinal truth, Paul uses the death of a spouse and the freedom then of the widow to remarry. You see, let's talk about what he's teaching here, and then we'll come back to the text. Before your salvation, you were a live body, a live soul, and a dead spirit. That's why your spirit needed to be born again. You know, you've read John chapter 3, I'm sure, many times, may have quoted it many times. This is where Jesus Christ is talking to Nicodemus. And Jesus says in John chapter 3, verse 5, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water," that's his natural birth, as we will see in verse 6, "and of the Spirit," that's his spirit birth, as we will see in verse 6, "he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh," that's his water birth, "and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit," that's his spiritual birth. "Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again." When you and I were created in Adam, we were created a tripart being. When Adam sinned, there was a spiritual death. And when you and I are born and sin, we have a spiritual death, and that's why our spirits need to be born again. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, "You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." To be quickened means to be made alive. Well, your body wasn't quickened because it was alive already, and it hasn't died yet. It's heading to a grave. Likewise, your soul wasn't quickened when you got saved because it was alive before your salvation. In Matthew chapter 10, when Jesus Christ is warning his disciples about the trouble they're going to experience while they are out preaching the gospel, he says to them in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, "Fear not them which kill the body," so that's alive, "but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." So the soul and the body are already alive. The part of you that was dead before your salvation was your spirit, and therefore your spirit had to be quickened. Okay? You got that so far? When you got saved, you were a live body, a live soul, and a dead spirit. Your spirit came to life when the Holy Spirit quickened you. And now you've had a spiritual birth. You are born again. Now, keep going. Following your salvation, you became a live soul, a live spirit. Watch it. And now, doctrinally, a dead body. It's like Paul said in Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. Watch it. "For he that is dead is freed from sin." Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. So the fact is that if you're saved, your body is doctrinally dead. And the fact is, I'm saved by having trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, and my body is doctrinally dead. You know what that allows you and I to do? That allows you and me to be espoused to Christ, awaiting the marriage of the Lamb. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and look at verse 2. The Bible says, but this is Paul, and he's writing to the Corinthians, and he says in 2 Corinthians 11:2, "For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." See, what's going to happen then when Jesus Christ, or when we get to go to heaven before the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's going to be a marriage according to Revelation 19. That marriage is going to take place in heaven. And guess what? You and I are the bride of Christ. Those of us who have been saved by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are the church, we are the bride, and then we see the marriage of the Lamb. And that's in Revelation 19. Verses 7 through 9. Okay? Now, listen. Practically speaking, that is, looking at it from man's perspective, practically speaking, your body is still alive, and it is waiting on the grave, and so is my body. But doctrinally, what's happened is our bodies are crucified with Christ. Paul says, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live." So, in a doctrinal sense, our body is dead. You know what that's accomplished? It accomplished that we are now free from the law. We are freed from sin. And because we are no longer under the bondage of the law, our soul, which is pictured in Romans chapter 7, verses 1 through 4, as a female, is free, because it's no longer under the bondage of the law, to be espoused to Jesus Christ. So Paul uses marriage to illustrate the doctrinal truth that occurs in our salvation, where our spirit comes to life and our body is dead with Christ. In Romans chapter 7, verses 2 and 3, Paul describes the way that marriage binds the wife to her husband until his death. Then, after his death, if she wants to remarry, she is free to remarry, since the law only has dominion over a man as long as he liveth. So she's not an adulteress because her husband is dead, and likewise our souls are not adulteresses because our bodies are dead in Christ, and therefore we can marry. You see, the soul in Romans chapter 7, verses 1 through 4, which is pictured by the wife, is bound to the body, which is pictured by the husband, until the body dies. Since the body dies doctrinally at salvation, the soul is free to be married to Jesus Christ. That's the doctrinal teaching of Romans chapter 7, verses 1 through 4. That's what it's about. It's not a doctrinal statement on marriage. It is using the doctrinal understanding of marriage under the law to explain the doctrinal truth of salvation and our espousal to the Lord Jesus Christ. So what you see then in Romans chapter 7 verses 1 through 4 is that Romans chapter 7 verses 1 through 4 does not even deal with the subject of divorce, because it is simply an illustration of a doctrinal truth concerning salvation. Many times, however, what preachers are doing is they go to these verses to make a case against remarriage by a divorcee. And here's what they say, that if the wife and the husband get a divorce, she cannot remarry until he dies, because the preachers believe that they are still husband and wife. You see? In other words, they're saying, well, once they're husband and wife, they're husband and wife until one of them dies. Well, if they're, you know, using this text would be impossible to do, because the text doesn't even consider divorce. And the truth of the matter is, once a husband and wife are divorced, they are no longer husband and wife. You say, where'd you get that from? The Bible. The Bible. Turn to Hosea chapter 2. Hosea chapter 2. Very important. You know, if you're going to do all this, do it in the truth. I mean, if you're going to do this, I'm talking about if you're going to have a discussion on the subject of divorce and remarriage, do it according to the scriptural truth, not according to the seminary training, if the seminary training is off. Hosea chapter 2, look at verses 1 and 2. "Say you not unto your brethren, Ami, and to your sisters, Ruama. Plead with your mother. Plead. For she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight and her adulteries from between her breasts. Okay, now here's what's going on in Hosea. In this particular passage, you are looking at a husband and a wife who are divorced, and in their divorce, they are no longer husband and wife. She is not my wife, Hosea chapter 2, verse 2 says, neither am I her husband, yet they are both still alive, and so are their children. You see, in that particular passage of Hosea chapter 2, Hosea and Gomer are still alive, but their marriage is over. He says, she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. But both spouses are still alive, and yet they are no longer husband and wife. So, a former spouse does not have to wait until the death of his or her former spouse to remarry if there were scriptural grounds for their divorce. Because they are not husband and wife, and therefore you wouldn't be able to look at Romans chapter 7 as a doctrinal position on it, saying that this man, whoever he was, has to be dead before this woman, whoever she is, can remarry. Let me give you an example. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. And please understand something. We're not sitting here promoting divorce by any stretch of the imagination. You'll see. But in case you're getting that idea, we're not heading in that direction at all. We're trying to understand the Bible and where it stands on this subject of divorce and remarriage. All right, in Matthew chapter 19, look at verse 3. The Pharisees also came unto him, that is Jesus Christ, tempting him and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And what they're quoting is back there from the Old Testament. And he answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh? That's Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. They say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? That's Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 1. He saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. Now watch what he says. And I say unto you, this is Matthew chapter 19, verse 9. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, watch it, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away, doth commit adultery. In Matthew chapter 19, the Lord Jesus Christ makes one allowance for divorce. When the Pharisees asked him about divorce, the Lord told him, listen, that he was absolutely against it. Absolutely against it. From the beginning it was not so. What God therefore joined together, let not man put asunder. Absolutely against it. However, he made an allowance for fornication. He said, whosoever shall put away his wife, watch it, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. Do you know why the Lord allowed divorce in the case of fornication? Because fornication divides the one flesh of the marriage. Genesis 2:24, they twain shall be one flesh, Matthew chapter 19, verse 5, and it creates a new union. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. What, know you not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two saith he shall be one flesh. So here's what's going on. Here's what's going on. Adultery is created when there is a union, one flesh, and now a new union, making one body. What's happened is, now, when that happens, and the Lord says, the other party, the party that was originally married, is no longer bound by the law because this person has stepped out and created a new union. So when you refer back to the illustration in Romans chapter 7, if the wife, for instance, in Romans chapter 7, verses 1 through 4, had committed fornication, she would be an adulteress because she married another man. A marriage, not, you know, the ceremony, but a marriage by flesh joining flesh, 1 Corinthians 6:16. While she was married to her husband. So as you see here, he's saying if there's a woman and a man, they're married and they're husband and wife, and then she steps out with another man, she has now joined flesh with flesh and adulterated the original marriage. Do you see that? And that wasn't contemplated in Romans chapter 7, including divorce. It just only looked at the idea of this kind of thing happening while the couple was still married. So fornication, you know, dissolves the union, and therefore the Lord said, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. So he makes an allowance for fornication. Another case for divorce occurs in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 12 to 15. Paul says, to the rest I speak, not the Lord. If a brother hath a wife that believeth not, so he's saved and she's not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. And the woman which hath an husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. Watch it. But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God hath called us to peace. All right, so here's a case where a husband or a wife gets saved and the unbelieving spouse decides to leave. Paul said, if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases. Now, you know what Paul's recommendation is in that case? Paul's recommendation is that the deserted spouse remain single. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 27. Art thou bound unto a wife? Seek not to be loosed. Art thou loosed from a wife? Seek not a wife. So his recommendation is that the unmarried person stay single. But he also says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 28, that if the person remarries, they haven't sinned. Look what he says, continuing on in verse 28 of 1 Corinthians 7. But, and if thou marry, all right, read the context. Art thou bound unto a wife? Seek not to be loosed. Art thou loosed from a wife? Seek not a wife. But, and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. And if a virgin marry, she hath not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you. The only condition that Paul gives for remarriage in this case is that the deserted spouse marry a saved person. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 39. The wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, watch it, only in the Lord. So in the case of a death, you know, where she's a widow, if she wants to remarry, she's got to remarry in the Lord. And likewise, if this person is not bound because the husband is now gone, same thing, got to marry in the law. Marry in the Lord. Now let me add this. Preachers are wrong who teach that remarried couples from such scriptural circumstances as fornication and desertion are living constantly in adultery and that they need to divorce and return to their original spouses. I hear a preacher from time to time on the radio who says, you know, if you had a situation and your marriage resulted in divorce and you've now remarried, you got to get out of this marriage and you got to go back to your original spouse in order to clear up your covenant relationship with the Lord. Well, Deuteronomy chapter 24 verses 1 through 4 show you in no uncertain terms that returning to an original spouse is an abomination to the Lord. I mean, they're recommending that you violate, you know, you've already got a mess and now they're telling you to violate Scripture and go back to this former spouse. Her former husband, which sent her away, may not take her again to be his wife after that she is defiled, for that is abomination before the Lord. Deuteronomy 24:4. So, wrong to say that. Now listen, God is absolutely opposed to divorce. He said so in Matthew chapter 19, verses 7 through 8. From the beginning it was not so, but God allowed the divorce because of the hardness of your hearts, our hearts. Okay? What God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Absolutely opposed to divorce. However, he allows remarriage under two conditions. Fornication, where the marriage was dissolved because a new union was created, or desertion, where the unbelieving spouse left. But be well advised, in the case of remarriage, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 7:28, such shall have trouble in the flesh. Here's what I say as we wrap this up. You'd better spend a great deal of time in prayer before you ever think about remarriage. And you'd better be absolutely certain that the Lord is directing you in the case of a remarriage. If you have scriptural grounds and you're divorced because of fornication or desertion, and you have scriptural grounds, I'll just tell you, just because you can doesn't mean you should. In the cases where God has directed the marriage, they're very successful, and God is glorified. But it's very common, though, for people to divorce for the wrong reason and to remarry for the wrong reason. You get into that situation, man, it's going to be regrettable. You don't want to be a party to either of those cases. And let me conclude by saying this. If you're currently remarried and you find that your circumstances were not scriptural, don't bail out. Be truthful with God. Seek His mercy. Seek His will. Because if anyone in this universe can get you back on track, it is the Lord. Trust Him. Be truthful with Him. Seek His mercy and get back on track. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. 6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.